we're going to let you multitask today, and that you're going to be able to pass the offering plate, grab a Bible as you do. We're going to continue our light series looking at John chapter 1 today. And in John chapter 1, we're actually going to start partway through what is called the prologue, the introduction to his gospel. And that is beginning at verse 6. The first five verses we're actually going to pick up at our Christmas Eve service. So you'll be able to address those there. But today, then, what we're going to do is light a candle that is called the true light. So we're addressing that today in our third Sunday of Advent, addressing the idea of the true light that John expresses in this prologue and that he gives to us. So John chapter 1 is found, if you're using one of the chair Bibles, on page 739. And if you want to go there or go on an electronic device to it, somehow to get it before you and or, it will also be up on the screen for you. I'd like you to follow along, though, as I read. John chapter 1, verses 6 through 14. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light. The light that he's saying, that light, is Jesus, and it was described in verses 1 to 5. So we're picking it up that Jesus is called the light, and so he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word of the Lord. How many of you are afraid of the dark? It really depends probably on how dark it actually is. I'm going to tell a number of darkness stories today, even though we're actually going to be talking about the light. It helps us to have that contrast. One of my early experiences in dealing with darkness was I was in a play my freshman year in high school. During the play, I actually hid and kind of got dumped into a coffin for a time on platform. So I was just thrown in there and the lid shut down in a coffin. And it was great. You know, I thought it was fine to be in there. I realized I wasn't claustrophobic and stuff, but a number of people asked me, like, how is it being locked in a coffin? And you could tell they were like, yeah, don't do that to me. And it just depends on kind of your makeup, I suppose, as to whether you are or aren't afraid of the dark and how much dark it takes before we are. But the main point that we want to address is the idea of the attraction and the beauty of light. Light is an utterly unique part of God's creation. I don't know if you've done much reading about light, but it's a fascinating topic to understand what light is. And we still are wrestling. Scientists are still trying to discover how light really works and what light really is. If you're not aware of this, light is the only thing that behaves, that's the term we use because we can't fully understand it, both as particle and as waveform. Now, we have known that by different means of measuring that we can see both waveform and particle when we study light, but we've never been able to simultaneously capture them. This is the first picture ever captured, and the technology of how they did this gets way over my head in about that much time, but this is the first picture just from a few years ago of ever capturing both the particle and the waveform idea or behavior of light. It's interesting. All of life springs forth from light, and we still really don't understand what it is. And the first words ever recorded of God speaking, the first words we know of him speaking and written down are, "Let there be light." And bursting forth from that, everything, all of life, comes out of light. Light is life. And today I hope you will consider asking if you are reflecting light, if you're avoiding light, if you're receiving light. First, let's see how John points us to the idea of reflecting light. What's this a picture of? How do you know that? Because it is what? Why can you see it? Because it's reflecting the light, isn't it? I mean, you could see it, obviously, if it wasn't, you know, as bright. But the issue is we see it because it's reflecting the sun's light. John the Baptist is told here in verse 6 that he is one who was sent by God to do what? To witness and testify of the light. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought about that. I'm sure you've read this many times or you've thought about it. Most of us have at least considered this and seen it quite a bit, that he came as a witness and to testify of the light. Now, if you really think about that, it's a bit strange. I mean, think about it. What would you think of me if I came up here and I said, "Hey, y'all, the lights are on. Really? Look, the lights are on." Like you're, duh. We can see the lights are on. Why do you have to testify? Why do you have to witness that the lights are on? Why do I have to tell you that? Jesus told us why in John chapter 3. Verse 19, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. That's why we need to testify about the light, because our deeds are evil and because we choose the darkness rather than the light. I am created for light, but I am bent toward darkness. I am created for light, but I am bent toward darkness. John reflected the light, and I hope to reflect light on you and to help you understand that the point of that reflection is that you would notice verse 7 ends with the word, that you would believe. That's why he tells us. That's why he reflects. That's why he declares and shows the light, so that we would believe. That's the purpose for this writing. Verse 8 confirms that John was not the light, but that he was pointing to the light, and the light was Jesus. But because we love darkness, as Jesus calls us, he says of us, he declares of us that we love darkness, that we tend to follow pretend lights. We tend to follow made-up lights or partial lights or little lights. My next darkness story I told in a great deal of detail, actually, at the Outdoor Family Ministry banquet this year. In the military, I was trained to do all kinds of jumps in all kinds of places, parachuting into anywhere we needed to go, including at nighttime into the ocean. And I was on a night parachute scuba jump in the North Sea off the coast of England on a very, very dark night. And the guy who is the jump master, that's who decides where and when we jump, he's supposed to be looking at the target. There was a whole calamity of errors by this guy who's by the name, his nickname from his jump master training was called Bomb Dump Bob, because of his proclivity to jump in all of the wrong places instead of the right places. And I was following him out the door. And he messed up over and over again. The story takes a while to say, but let me just tell you this, that finally he was so tired of being in that airplane, I would second that, because that's a lot of gear to have on in the back of an airplane that's going along like this. And finally he just decided, you know, this is good enough. I can't really see the target down there. The clouds are coming in. We're getting out of this airplane. He jumped out. Well, that proceeded to be a very long and dark night, let me tell you. He just decided that that light was good enough, and he went for it. We follow all kinds of pretend lights, thinking those are good enough. But the issue is that if it's not the light, if it's not the one, then it's really a pretend light. The Bible makes it clear there's really two kinds of people, and I want to speak to both of those kinds of people. Perhaps you fall in the first category, and that is those who've not really surrendered yet to the light. Perhaps there's been people in your life who've reflected the light to you, but you're here today and you're considering Christianity, and I'm glad you are. I'm glad you're thinking about this and looking at it and exploring whether or not Christianity is really true and whether it's really valid and whether it's really the truth. But perhaps there's been people in your life who they have been reflecting the light to you. They've been shining it. They've been telling you about it. They've maybe invited you today. You're here because you've been seeing their reflected light. These people, whether they're parents or friends or family, they've told you about the light, but perhaps you're content with good enough light, the little bit that you have, and that's giving you enough comfort, and you haven't really understood the darkness within, my proclivity to go my own way, and you're willing to just stay satisfied with that little bit of light. What light are you really following? Jesus declared he is the light, and he's the only light. But there's a second group of people that the Bible talks a lot about, and that is those of us who have received Christ, and we've decided that we're going to follow Jesus, and he is going to be the big deal in our life. And so we have a natural outpouring question from this. How are we doing at reflecting the light? John there was one who was shining light. You are. What's our verse? Let's see if we can say it. We don't have to do all the motions this time. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Help us out. Under bushels. See, I wasn't here last week. I only got the first verse done. That's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it. We are to be the light. We are the light of the world. If we're not reflecting it, they're not going to hear it. They're not going to see it. They're not going to know it. We are the light of the world, reflecting light. Secondly, we find there's people who avoid light. People are really created at loving the darkness. We tend to be unbelievably creative at that. We follow pretend lights. The deceptiveness of pretend light is really something to be wary of. Jesus would caution us to say, are you following the right light? Not just a little bit, not just some light. Notice what verse 9 says. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Well, note the modifier. What's the modifier about light there? The true light. What does that mean then? There is also a false light. There is lights that are lies. And there's lots of them. There's lights that lead to darkness, to destruction. You can't just say, I've got a little bit of light and say it's good enough. It's the light. Or it's danger. So what is the true light? The true light is an incredibly amazing light, but we are incredibly stubborn at being unwilling to follow it. Notice verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him. I want you to just pause there for a second. Don't just glance over that. Are you kidding me? This guy spoke, and everything you have seen, everything you have experienced, everything you have touched, he spoke, and it came into existence. But the world did not recognize him. They turned away. Even his own didn't stay with him. This creator, this is light himself, they chose the evil light of religion rather than the light. They chose to say, I'm good enough. Notice verse 11. He came into that which was his own. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He's speaking of the Jews here. His own people who should have known, and they were told. They didn't receive him. They got creative at turning away. God's creation demonstrates so many of the truths that Scripture gives us. So much of the spiritual realm is also demonstrated in the creation and in the things that he has made for us to observe and to see the truths that he gives us in Scripture. I love this one. Here's a picture of a creature in the very depths of the sea, far, far dwelling, far below any light penetration in the depths of the ocean. It is completely apart from the light, and it glows like this by bioluminescence. Bioluminescence is light produced by an organism using a chemical reaction. See, they flee the light, they go away from the light, and they produce their own light. The most common way that we tend to do this in our culture is by believing in what I call GE religion. You know what GE religion is? No, it's not General Electric. GE religion is good enough. It's good enough religion. You see, we take the standards and we lower the standards down and we say, yeah, I'm good. I don't think I need to worry about that eternity stuff or the real light or the true light. I don't think I need to worry about the corruption of my soul and that I'm bent toward darkness. I think I'm good enough. But you see, in order to do that, what you're doing is you're dropping the standards dramatically. Good enough religion is saying, I'm not really being honest about the darkness in my soul. My next darkness story is about elk hunting. I enjoy elk hunting, and I've learned that elk are out in the beginning and the end of the day. I prefer the end of the day, so I go out in the afternoon, and I stay up in the mountains late in the day. But one thing you know about hunting elk is that they're in grizz country. Man, when you go up into the mountains and you stay until it gets dark, that means you're hiking out in the dark. And as you're hiking out in the dark, you see all kinds of shapes that are coming out of the mountains, and you hope you don't want to run into one of those bad boys. Grizz are awful to have to contend and deal with. But if you want to go elk hunting, you've got to contend with being around grizz. I take a chance when I go and do that. It means that I've stayed up in grizz country well into the darkness, and it's a bit spooky, but it is that I am out there and I am facing the darkness. But here's the reality: there is an enemy of your soul who seeks to devour you, and you cannot be good enough. One way he does so and lures us into the darkness is to convince us that our false religion, our idea of being good enough, is good enough, and it's a lie. It is not true that, in fact, perfection is the standard and good enough really is perfect. And if you can't do perfect, then you are not good enough. That's what the true light came into the world to tell you, to do perfect and offer that perfect for you. His death, his perfection for your darkness, his light to replace your darkness. One way he does so is to then be able to convince us that we're in darkness and that we would fear it and we would turn to him. Don't avoid facing the truth that rejecting Christ is choosing darkness, avoiding light. But third, we see the idea of receiving light. That's where John is taking us. He wants us to receive light. I've told you before some stories about the Tongue River Cave. I was on the volunteer search and rescue team in Sheridan, Wyoming, and outside of Sheridan, Wyoming is Tongue River Cave. This is some actual pictures of the Tongue River Cave. It's not a commercial cave. It's just one that people go hiking back into, and because of that, no regulations, nobody watching it. You have to crawl through spots like that one that you can see there, and so when we go in, somebody goes all the way back, like 2 miles in sometimes, they get hurt, and we have to go in, and we have to crawl through and pull the litter in to get back into them. A lot of times, by the time we were deployed and called to go and pull them out of the cave, by the time we got back into where they were hurt, their batteries have long since gone dead and they were in the dark. Now imagine if we finally got in there, they started seeing our lights coming and they said, you know, I don't really like you guys. I'd like someone else to come and get me out of here. Do you think we ever had that kind of an experience? Do you think that by the time we got there, they were saying, you know, I don't really need you guys? No, I'm telling you, they were clinging to our lights. They were staying right there with us. Notice what verse 12 says, yet to all who receive him, those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He had to give it. You see, when we see the state of our soul, when we recognize how dark it truly is, when we're honest about our bent toward darkness, we cling to the light. We want to be adopted by it. Those people clung to us. They were not letting us get out of that cave without them. Knowing about him is not receiving him. See, that goes back to this idea of turning away from the light, of avoiding the light. It isn't okay to just know about him. It's, have you believed and received him? It's a miraculous encounter that is told here. This encounter causes us to see in the true light our foolish thinking that we could be good enough. We cannot pay for our sins. We must be born again. Notice what verse 13 says. Children born, not of natural descent, nor of human descent, nor of a husband's will, but born of God. It's a miraculous birth, or it is death. Those are the only choices. It must be a miraculous encounter resulting in a divine adoption, or you are in darkness. That's the truth in what the scripture says. Both John the Baptist and John the writer saw this. They tell us, verse 14 there, that his dwelling is among us. In other words, they're saying to you, guys, we touched him. We ate dinner with him. We watched him sweat. We saw him get hungry and tired. He was a physical reality. It was a time and place events that we saw. We saw it. And he is this absolute concept and reality, light. It's him. We are eyewitnesses of it. This is the Christmas story. It's why Jesus came, to give you light, the true light. I've used a story before. I've used it many times. I don't think I've used it lately, but I want you to challenge your divine imagination. Okay, so you can imagine things, and I want you to imagine that you have lived all of your life on a remote island that's never developed and never seen, you know, modern inventions. And everything that you've ever known then has been built by wood because there was no metal on your island. So you have never seen this stuff called steel. So you got that? You picture that? You've never seen steel. You've only seen wood. Now, if you build something out of wood, usually it's got to be pretty thick and pretty big. And I tell you about this new stuff called metal. And I say, this stuff, which, you know, really seems pretty flimsy, it's actually quite strong, this stuff called metal. Now, I can take this thing and stand right there, and I can stand up on that chair and jump up and down on this thing called metal. What's your response? Using your imagination, what would you think? No way. And I say, I'm telling you, I can stand up on this chair and jump up and down. What are you waiting? Yeah. What are you waiting for me to do? If I stand here and tell you that, do I believe it? I could stand here all day long and try and convince you that this new stuff metal will hold me. But when do I really believe it? Do I believe it now? That's belief. That's receiving. Unless you have placed your total faith and trust, your whole life in it. Because some of you were nervous that I was going to fold this chair up and bang my shins pretty bad, which is not anywhere near as risky as trusting in some manufactured light or good enough stuff and ideas that you've had in your life. Receiving Jesus is all about that this is your absolute bottom line value. Your whole being is placed in the hope of Jesus, or you're in the darkness. You're following some pretend light. You're believing stuff that's not really true. You've been captured by the lies of the enemy who wants to devour you. The light of Christmas is all about Jesus coming to pay our debt. Have you seen the light reflected in those who maybe have invited you, your friends, your family, your parents? Those people have been trying to tell you about the difference between just knowing about Jesus and surrendering your life to Jesus. It's not about doing religion. It's not about showing up in church. It's not about calling yourself by this brand name of church. It's about, have you put your total faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, receiving and believing that he is the light? It's extremely common to avoid the light. Don't let the popularity of that deceive you into thinking that it's okay. Jesus warned us also of that. Many, wide is the way, and many choose it, that lead to destruction. They're satisfied with that little bit of light, and they're okay with just walking through life saying, yeah, I'm doing okay. But narrow is the way, and few choose it, that lead to life. Don't adjust your standards to believe that you are good enough. It's not true. Believe and receive Christ's sacrifice for your sins. It is why the light came. Let's pray. Father, today I pray for both of the conditions of the folks who are here, whether they have been looking at and hearing and seeing a little bit about the light and they've been considering it. Father, if today is the day that they're willing to say, I want to give in. I want to have that work of Christ move in me. Lord, I pray that they would pray like this. Father, I see that I have sinned. I've gone my own way. I haven't really trusted you. And this day, I want to be my birthday, my new birthday. I want to be adopted into the family of God. And I pray that today would be that day. But for those of us, Lord, who we've had that day, whether weeks, months, decades ago, today, would you help us to rekindle our desire to reflect the light? Let Jesus be seen. Forgive us for thinking that a little bit of light is all we need, when in fact the world dwells in darkness. Make our lives more and more about sending light to the ends of the world, not hiding it, not keeping it to ourselves, but sacrificing, choosing to really be engaged, that people all the world over would know the hope of the light. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.